The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. We have Donovan McNabb on today's show. Donovan is a Valley resident. Of course, great Philadelphia Eagle, all-time passing leader in the Eagles Hall of Fame. He does a lot of television and radio work. Donovan McNabb on. I want to talk to him about a quarterback that nobody talks about in the NFL that he feels like should be getting more attention. Also, Kyler Murray and what he likes, maybe what he doesn't like about Kyler Murray and who does he compare to. And Donovan's doing work in the high school space. He's worked with the number one recruit in the state, Ty Thompson, over at Mesquite, the quarterback there. So a lot to catch up with Donovan McNabb. We'll have him with us. Brock Huard is with us. Brock always comes on with something new. Today he's making a change in his career and adding satellite radio with SiriusXM. But I want to talk to him about the Pac-12 and did they pull the plug too soon? Would it be a tainted title if there's no Ohio State in this year's college space? What's Brock Huard's view on moving forward if you're a Big Ten or Pac-12 football coach and recruit? So we have a lot to get to with Brock Huard. That is all coming up a little bit later on in the show. We have Eric with us, as always. Always good to have Eric on board. We'll check in with him momentarily. Desert Financial Credit Union, want to talk to you about them. Want to talk to you about Desert Financial Credit Union and how they have been involved with Sports 360 AZ. It's been like 6-7 weeks now. When I was talking with Jeff Mishi about us and them and the community side and how we do our business as a company over at Desert Financial Credit Union, it all just made sense. And I've got many people that say to me, that's where I've been for 20 years, 25 years, very powerful brand that can help you out on all things, whether it's on your personal side or on your business side, taking care of business. When I step into one of their branches, and there's many of them, I always feel very safe. Everybody's masked up. Everybody's very knowledgeable. I don't know about you, but I've had places where I've gone into and I've left them because it's like, what are we doing here exactly? Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support with Sports 360 AZ. Eric is with us. What is new with you? Are you on the Luca boy Ayton was a bad pick wagon? Are you on the Diamondback stink wagon? Are you on, we have football right around the corner maybe with the Cardinals? Where are you at today?
Wow, you really checked all the boxes. You can also add, I guess, various high school coaches reaching out to me today in somewhat of a panic saying like, so what's going on here? Like, we're getting a little bit closer and like we haven't heard a lot and it's almost the beginning of September. And like, I know the answers. I mean, I tell them, you know, we've been talking about this since April. Right. We still don't really have like concrete resolution. So please don't ask me. I don't know.
But you are the zone read guy, man. You
that
got
doesn't
it.
Mean anything? I don't make the decisions.
What are you talking about? Zone
I'm just
read
a guy. I'm just a guy.
I use that line too.
Yeah, it is like it's like. Hey, so are you hearing anything about like maybe the season being put? I'm like, no. You're gonna know before I know.
Yeah, the season's gonna get pushed back. That's what I think. And I'm hearing the same thing you're hearing. I know that if Brophy and Pinnacle and Horizon and Notre Dame Prep and all these have no real true direction yet, like, what are we doing here exactly, guys? Like, South Point, you know, there's one that was in the open division, and Pinnacle and Horizon and, like, I don't know. I know we're in a pandemic. None of us have ever been here before, but just lead. Somebody just come in and say, this is what's going on. Rather than all these different reservoirs. I am all fired up about Luka, though. Luka hobbles off the court. Or was he really not that badly hurt? I don't know. Because it's a pro athlete. A lot of times they know how to act. It's cool. Because he shows up and puts on a phenomenal game. A phenomenal game. And, of course, I see these guys, and some of them you know, they go on social and they're like, oh, so if Luka doesn't have a good game, nobody brings it up, and that maybe DeAndre wasn't a bad pick. And I'm like, you know what, guys? I know you try to defend the Suns at every corner and every turn. I don't know why. Yeah, I sat here and said, take DeAndre Ayton, don't take Luka. I'll take my medicine. I was wrong. Happens. This is Sam Bowie and Michael Jordan. It just is at this point. DeAndre is better. But anybody who's going to try to sit here and explain away what Luka did yesterday and what he's just done, period, exclamation point, and when you have people gush about him that are at the top of the top, when Bob Ryan says, and who's covered the NBA for 50 years and is a Hall of Fame voter, he's in the Hall of Fame, Bob Ryan said, quote, "He takes my breath away like nobody else." Okay? So when I see him out there on whether it's half an ankle or not, and he looks like Magic Freaking Johnson, and he's just doing things out on the floor that you look at and say, oh my gosh, nobody's able to do this. Yeah, he's better than DeAndre Ayton. So quit trying to explain it away. We're going to have to live with that here in Phoenix. We passed and Sacramento passed. Sacramento said Marvin Bagley is going to be better than Luka Doncic. They're wrong. The Suns, they had the first pick. They could have taken anybody. And they had Igor here. Who knew Luka? And they said, no, we're going to take DeAndre Ayton. So we both were wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. I'm Willy Wonka at the end. Wrong, sir, wrong.
Is DeAndre Ayton a bust? No, he's not a bust. But Luka is just that much better. I was having beers with a friend on Friday who works in the media and follows the Suns very closely. And he brought up a great point, Brad. He said, you know, Luka has been a pro for like 7 years.
That's true.
DeAndre Ayton was playing club basketball against who knows what, doing whatever he wants, you know, everyone telling him how great he is. While overseas, Luka was playing with a bunch of adults as a teenager. So Luka, maturity-wise, is so far ahead of DeAndre Ayton. I'm not confident that DeAndre Ayton will ever become as mature as Luka. But it sucks. But I, as Eddie Johnson would say, I appreciate the greatness of Luka. Just like I appreciate the greatness of LeBron. Because Luka is not like Mr. Super Athlete.
No.
He's just really good. He is the modern-day Larry Bird. Like, he is. He is Larry Bird.
He's must-see TV. Like, tomorrow night, I already know. Like, tonight, I'll watch Lakers-Portland tonight. Because the Diamondbacks stink. The Diamondbacks are just awful. They're just dreadful. They lose 5 in a row. They hit $176 on the road trip. $176. So I've got NBA on my mind tonight. And then tomorrow night, I've already seen it's Clippers-Mavs as the late game. And so I am good. I am golden. NBA basketball is fantastic in August. Keep it going.
The one thing I love about Luka is he elevates his team. And yesterday was like the perfect example of, you know what, just get on my back and I will carry us to victory against a team, talent-wise, that's far better than the Mavericks.
He had 43, 17, and 13 assists.
It's unbelievable.
And when you saw him on Friday night, hobble off the court and hop to the locker room, there's no way. There's no freaking way he should have. And he's 21, 43, 17, and 13.
And you know what I like? You know what else I love about Brad? He's not an ass. He's just like, he's all about the team. He's all about being around the guys. He's just a normal guy. Yes, he's a mega star. But yeah. He's not the glitzy show me how great I am type player. He's just a stud. So,
no, I mean, that was the highlight of the weekend. Like, I went out to Cardinals camp yesterday and we were allowed to watch for 20, 30 minutes and it was fine. I saw Kenyon Drake run. I saw Kyler Murray throw. And that's it. It's 3 weeks until their first game. And, you know, they made some moves on the back end of the secondary, which is important. I know fans are very excited, but they'll ask me, so what'd you think? How'd they look? It's the same thing as how do they look in an exhibition NFL game? Thank God they don't have any of those, but I don't know how they're going to look. Like, Fitz looked bigger to me. And you're going out there, I think, tonight and Wednesday, but to me, he just looked
bigger. Yeah, I'm going out Wednesday. Going to high school tonight, going out on Cardinals on Wednesday. So.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, he just looked bigger. But all right, Donovan McNabb is on the other side. And a little bit later, Brock Huard. Eric and I are going to talk about the stinking Diamondbacks and some other things in about 15 minutes. Stay with us. As promised, Donovan McNabb with us. Always good to catch up with Valley people. That's right. Donovan is here. He's in the Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Fame, 98 career victories. He can give us a lot of insight on Kyler Murray and quarterbacks around the NFL. But I have to start with post-NFL for you, Mr. McNabb. How are things working out? You're here in the Valley. Donovan, yes. What's going on in your world?
Well, it's after retirement, you know, really dove into a lot of the broadcasting in which I enjoy, you know, work for a few companies and also still do some stuff right now with TV and radio. Love giving insight of what I see with the NFL and the changes of where players are progressing as well as where teams are kind of sleeper teams and things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to the NFL season and get back with that. Also, just being dad, yeah. You know, while you're playing during the season, you don't get a chance to spend as much time as you really want to with your kids. You're there Monday through Friday pretty much, and then you end up leaving Saturday. You come back late Sunday night or Monday. Now I'm 24/7 with the family, being a bus driver, being a coach. I'm coaching girls basketball, club basketball, also training quarterbacks here in the Valley. So just staying busy and, you know, trying to help change lives and give these young kids, girls and guys, an opportunity, you know, just by kind of giving my wisdom back to them. Teaching them about work ethic, passion, desire, goal-oriented, and see where it can take them.
Donovan McNabb with us. So to that end, in coaching quarterbacks, I don't want to just single out one, but you are working with Ty Thompson over at Mesquite High School, who is regarded as one of the best in the country. And I'm just curious, what do you see out of Ty?
Oh, first and foremost, I think everyone gets enamored by his physical ability. I go to the mental side, and he's well beyond his years. He's a leader. He's now become more outspoken, which is something in which we've continued to work on, of just the leadership aspect. You have to be able to stand in front of a classroom or an auditorium and give a speech or also install offensive plays. And that being the quarterback position is not all about just throwing passes and you know, getting your team in offensive formation. You're a CEO of a company. And that's something that he's built over these last couple of years, and we've seen what he's done on the football field. And the thing that I was very excited about with Ty is being in a Mesquite High School, where not a lot of people think of a football powerhouse. Mm-hmm. You know, just 2 years ago, I believe they only had four to five wins. And then you talk last year when we started working and kind of opening up his game a little bit more, becoming more of a drop back passer, being able to get out of the pocket and complete balls. I think what you've seen is now Mesquite has kind of put themselves on the map of one, winning the state championship in the 4A, Ty Thompson getting national recognition, and then we've seen what he did in the Elite 11. Now coming into this 2020-2021 season, I look for Mesquite now to come in as one of the front runners, you know, depending on what Sororo does if they get to the open division. But all of that now has changed in Mesquite because of Ty Thompson. So I'm proud of him, of just where he's at right now, committing to Oregon, Power Five conference, where no one would think anybody from Mesquite would go to Oregon or be, you know, offered to go to Oregon. And he's that guy. So he may be one of the highest recruits to ever come out of Mesquite, at least at this time. And it's all because of the change that he made and he committed to in the last 9 to 12 months.
What do you tell a kid, though, that is in the uncertainty of, are we going to play football in high school or not? Because his situation to me, Donovan, I've been doing the football thing for 30 years, pro college and high school. His is so unique, and there's a handful of them, right?
Right.
If the season were to get pushed back to a certain point in time, really, I don't think you should be going out on the field if we're sitting here in January. When you can enroll at Oregon, you can go on. I'm not asking you directly on what he should do, but the process for a lot of these high school kids being in this limbo situation, and then you have Oregon, yeah. Which is in limbo too. What do you make out of all of it?
Well, it's a tough decision for any teenager to make at that particular time. Obviously, he would have to sit down with trustworthy individuals, including his parents. It's one in which do you really want to put your body in jeopardy, pushing them now back into the spring when you have the opportunity possibly to leave and join spring practice,
right,
and to be on campus in the spring of the given university in which you've committed to. And you got to take a look at it on both sides. One for high school, if they continue to push it back and then say it's a 2-week delay, or now they push it into that Christmas January aspect. You got to look at where college football is as well. You know, you got conferences like the Big Ten, you have the Pac-12 who have pushed theirs all the way back now and tried to bring it into the spring. That's the same as the high school. So for these high school kids who are top at their position or they've already committed, that's a true business decision that you have to make. You don't want to leave your friends in high school, but you also are ready to take that next step. So I think you'll start to see if they push it back here in Arizona, which I don't think they should, to be honest with you. I think they should have these kids play. I love the 2-week delay and then let them play. Because what we're seeing as far as with this virus is concerned, it's not about, you know, people being in contact and things of that nature. Yeah, I mean, if we get it, we get it. We have to handle it as such and be cautious with it. But what you're seeing, especially at the college level, they're somewhat in a bubble. And if, as a parent, if your kid is at home and he's virtually doing his schoolwork, then he's already pretty much in a bubble. So all of those kids are doing their schoolwork virtually, or if they're in a school and they're wearing a mask, they're protecting each other while they're out there playing.
Donovan McNabb with us for a couple of minutes. Really good stuff on that topic. I want to turn the attention, Donovan, over to the NFL. And who do you look at and just say, Brad, and there's the obvious ones, but who do you look at and say, this quarterback, man, this guy is just this close to being at that next level. Who gets you really jacked up as a guy that put up big numbers in the NFL? Now you look at it today.
Well, you know what? It's more than just the big numbers. You have to look at, one, the progression of his game.
Yeah.
You have to look at where they were from pretty much their rookie year and how they continue to progress and where they could end up. I think you look at a guy like Josh Allen in Buffalo, where coming into his rookie year, you know, he was still trying to adjust to the speed of the game, the blitzes, the front coverages, getting the ball out on time, and he's continued to get better. And then you look at what Buffalo has done around him to bring in Stephon Diggs. Their running back situation with Singleton is still one of the best, especially in the AFC East. And then also their defense is strong. So now you look at the quarterback and say, well, what are we expecting from Josh Allen? I'm expecting Josh Allen to take another step or two better in the passing game. We've seen his ability to get out and use his legs and throw on the run, but more pocket passing and being able to deliver it downfield when you have a guy like Stephon Diggs, who's a number one receiver. Also, you have to probably look at guys like Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is a guy, even though he's missing Hopkins, this is now kind of the pressure on his shoulders like he was back in Clemson. You know, he's pretty much like his coach said, he's like the Michael Jordan of football because he's won on every level. So you look at what Houston is at this particular point, their playoff team, their second round, maybe AFC championship playoff team, if they continue to build around him. So I expect him to take another two step notches ahead. Now, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, we've seen the best, not one of the best of Patrick Mahomes. We haven't seen the best of Patrick Mahomes. So we all expect big things from him as well. But the list goes on. I just love watching these young quarterbacks of projecting, you know, when people project a lot of things, especially in that rookie season, and we're all rookies. We go through our first year. Some of us look bad. Some of us look okay. but it's the second, third, and fourth year where you start to see the jump and you start to see the team play around them and expect great things from them. So those particular quarterbacks, I'm really keeping an eye on.
Donovan McNabb with us for a couple of minutes. Focus in on Kyler Murray, if you could. What jumps out at you most? What do you like most about Kyler Murray's game? When you look at him, where does he need to make the next steps? Because it is year two for him.
Yeah, it is. It's year two. And you see, I didn't mention Kyler because what I've seen in his rookie year, I expected that. I expected the jump. And people don't realize, and they probably won't talk about Kyler unless he wins an MVP, in the same breath of a Lamar Jackson, of a Deshaun Watson. They probably won't mention it, but they failed to mention the part that's very important. He won Rookie of the Year. And here in Arizona, where you're not collecting 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 wins.
Right.
And for a guy to come in, and everyone talked about it. We didn't talk about his game. They never talked about his passing ability or his mobility. They talked about his height. And so he's on the level of where Drew Brees was to me. Everyone wanted to compare Baker Mayfield because they looked similar, you know, and it's kind of the play. And you look at what Kyler Murray presents to any offense, if he was in any offense. One, he has the ability to sit in the pocket and deliver strikes. Two, he has the mobility. Three, I think people overlook his intelligence of being able to pick up complex offenses. Lincoln Riley's offense wasn't simple. Then to come here and to learn this offense, which it was very similar to what he ran at Texas A&M as a freshman and sophomore. And so I love what Kyler Murray presents to a team. I think you'll see Hopkins have another great season. I think you'll see Larry be very efficient in the slot. Chris and Kirk, this would be his type of year. I think they get Malcolm Butler back, you know, the receiver out of Iowa State, which is going to help them in so many ways. And then you'll see Keon Drake be able to be that scat back that they need in this offense to create pressure on linebackers that they will be facing in their division.
Are you cheering for Fitz to break the all-time record of Rice? I know there's the – is he going to stick around? He's like 160, 170 catches.
Yeah, I thought you were about to say he's about 160, 170 years old. Yeah.
and he would agree with that.
Yeah, but you know what? For all players, Larry's a great guy. I hope he does have that opportunity to break the record. But if he doesn't, Larry still goes down as one of the best receivers to ever play in the NFL. And, you know, he's the best receiver to ever play here in Arizona. He's one of the best in the NFL history, future Hall of Famer, and just overall great guy.
If you had played in Kingsbury's offense with Fitz, what numbers would you have, do you think?
You know what? It's tough to say. And I'm not one of those guys who try to, you know, plug myself in and say, oh, well, I would have thrown for 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I just kind of – I enjoyed the system that I was in. And you got to remember, the times while I was playing – and I hate to sound like the old guy, but the times that I was playing, it was a lot more physical. They weren't calling ticky-tack, you know, penalties. And they can, you know, defensive backs can be physical at the line of scrimmage and pass 5 yards. So I just think it's tough to go with the different eras. Because remember when Spurrier came into the NFL at that time when I was there, and he tried that whole spread kind of offense and realized that the blitzes that you see, these quarterbacks are going to get killed. But I love where the game has changed. I hate the RPO game. I can't stand, you know, this whole run pass option deal. You know, get it on the quarterback to make checks at the line of scrimmage to get him either in a pass play or a correct run play to allow the teams now to kind of go. The RPO game is to me, it's like the Wildcat. It was in for a little bit, then it died out. So let's get back to traditional football.
One last thing, and what is, when you look at the game today, what do you like most? What do you wish maybe RPO, you may have just answered that. What do you wish would go away? What do you like most about the game today? Because it has changed so much from when you did play.
It did. It has changed. And, you know, what I would like change is stop all these ticky-tack penalties with the hits on the quarterback. Some of these penalties are getting ridiculous. You know,
and this is from a quarterback. This is a quarterback saying this.
It's starting to get kind of, you know, out of hand. Offensively, what would I like to see change? The RPO game, you know, it gets on my nerves at times because I hate when people continuously bring, oh, it's RPO. It's like, no, it's a check with me. but I would just like to see downhill type of running game. I hate the jet sweep and all of that. That's great for reverses and all, but let's get these running backs going downhill on the A and B and C gap. Let's get these quarterbacks dropping back 5-3, 5-7 step drop. Let's get some ball out on timing and things of that nature.
I'll get you out of here. Enjoy being an Uber driver today. Sounds like you're.
Oh yeah, you know. Well, fortunately for me, we just got back from Dallas playing in the AAU tournament out there. So all our kids are in front of the computer virtually at school.
Yeah.
And so I get a chance to rest a little bit until this evening, until I get back with some of my quarterbacks.
Do you have a future Orangeman on your hands or another college?
I won't put that pressure on any of my kids. Hopefully, they have the opportunity. We do have athletes though. Here in the house, but we're still building, and hopefully that opportunity happens. And you know, if it does, it's great. If not, wherever they rewarded of going to school, get a full paid education, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, great answer. Appreciate the time and the visit, Donovan. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Donovan McNabb with us, and we're back with more after this timeout. So I want to go back on this, Eric, about the high school stuff, because the Diamondbacks stink, okay? And that's all. That's all I can say on them. They're just not good right now. So on the high school stuff, 2 weeks from today is when... Eric is delayed. No, there's Eric. Do you hear me?
I do. All right. Sorry, we just had a little change of plans last minute, but I'm good now.
So. That's fine. So on the high school end, we talked about it briefly at the top of the show. So can you do the high school season? Do you still think it's going to start on time? People you talk to. I do not. I am now at the point where it's going to be mid-October in my view. It's going to be.
I was less confident in the season actually finishing than starting, and now I'm kind of with you. I'm not totally sure that we're going to start on October 2nd. So.
But we will have a season, I do believe. I think there's enough momentum there. But is it something where, like, you're up by Pinnacle and Horizon. Those are two big powerhouse programs that kind of fly under the radar, especially Horizon, in my opinion. That's a bunch of local neighborhood kids. They just go out and play, and they do their thing, right? Yep. Is that the best way to put it?
Yeah. Well coached, don't get a lot of transfers, lose a couple, but don't get many. But they're competitive for sure.
Okay, and Notre Dame, from my understanding, Notre Dame Prep has not even gotten on the field, hasn't done anything to
this
point.
That is not correct. They have been on the field. I have seen them doing very early morning workouts.
With footballs?
I have not seen them with footballs, but I have seen them out doing field work. Okay, but so I just drive by. Yeah, maybe it's phase one. I haven't attended a practice, but
for people who don't know on this high school end. So like we know that college isn't happening. We've been out the Cardinals. I still think there could be a delay on the NFL for a week or two, just from what I'm hearing there. But what I'm hearing on these high schools is they're in like phase zero or phase one, and all the schools that are in the downtown area. The Phoenix Metro, they've already said, we can't play on time. We have to look at spring. It's been a complete disaster for the Phoenix Union School District. 10 schools, right?
Yep.
Okay, so then Paradise Valley School District. There's 5 of those, and they're not playing, right?
Not to my knowledge, no.
But they're on the field. They could be in phase one. But they are definitely not in pads. And helmet stuff.
Well, no one's in pads and helmets until September 2nd.
Yeah. sure.
Welcome to the Wild Wild West.
It is happening out here.
Of all the schools that I've been to recently, which hasn't been a lot, but a handful, no one's been in pads and helmets.
Okay. Living out here in the Southeast Valley, anything goes. That's all I'm going to say.
Albuquerque has different rules than Phoenix. So.
Glendale Union, they're not in. Tucson Unified, they're not in. Amphi, they're not in. So, you know, that's like 47 schools that still are just like, guys, please tell us what we're supposed to do. And I just don't see how Chandler and Tempe and Mason, Gilbert and Higley and Florence can just say, too bad. You guys, you snooze, you lose. I don't get it.
Unless they're going to do like in college and just some regions and districts just won't play. Like, we're not going to see the Pac-12. We're not going to see the Big Ten. But it sure looks like the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 are going to find a way to at least start the season. Maybe that's what we see in high school. Maybe it's, hey, sorry, we're going to play. Sucks you guys can't play, but we're going
to
play.
That's I'll talk to Brock Huard about that next. All right, as promised, Brock Huard is with us. I've been hinting that Brock is, like, all about change. It was like a year ago I had you on, and you left ESPN for Fox. You just can't sit still. So a year later, you move. You're going on Sirius XM, but you're staying at Fox. What can you share? What can't you share? What can you divulge to us today? The riser, as I've called you for the last 8 years. You just keep going.
Brad, it's 2020. That's all I can divulge.
That's right. That's it. All right. So the Sirius XM part of it. What are you doing on Sirius XM? Because I am a Sirius XM guy. When can I find you? What are you going to be talking about and all that?
Yes, so we will be 1 to 4 Eastern time daily, and they're relaunching really beginning today. They're daily programming in 2020. Everything's been upside down. Lots of stuff has been pre-recorded. It is still a bit of moving parts as far as my window. I think I'm going to be there quite a bit, and they're hoping to settle in with one host. He's kind of back and forth and moving across the country, but eventually I think you'll have two quarterbacks hosting that show from 1 to 4 Eastern on Channel 84 there at ESPNU, Sirius Radio. And it's going to be great. I haven't done 3 hours of radio in a long time. I've been a part of Sirius for the last year, you know, doing a show here, a show there, their draft coverage. But this will be a great opportunity to dig back in on a national level for me, something I also haven't done a ton of as far as radio goes. I've always been a local radio guy, so it'll be a cool adventure.
Fun for you. Fun for you. Are you going to be doing any games this year? As we're sitting here today, do you believe, you can predict a virus? Do you believe that we will have college football as we know it in some way, shape, or form in 2 weeks?
Yeah. According to all the experts that I've talked to on the media side, not the science people or the doctors or the medical crews that are on each side of this thing, but according to the people in the media that make these decisions and listen to those conferences, this is all dependent upon the SEC. If the SEC goes, the rest are going to follow. If the SEC says no mas, it's just too much. You know, the Big Ten, our Big Ten brothers and Pac-12 brothers continue to put heat on us every day. The NCAA is putting heat on us to shut this thing down. If the SEC folds, then it's going away. But if the SEC plows through, which they're doing right now, Brad, and they're pushing through and they're navigating it like every pro sports league has really since May that made the decision to go for it. If the SEC goes for it, the others will follow along, and therefore there will be games, and there'll be some Big 12 games for us at Fox to be a part of and call.
Brock here with us for a couple of minutes on lots of things, Fox College Football, Sirius XM Radio. When you look at the Pac-12 a couple of weeks ago pulling the plug and the Big Ten, did they do it too soon? Did they do it just right? What was your reaction initially? Were you surprised? Fill me in on everything the Pac-12 and Big Ten did.
So this is just my opinion, and we all have them, and, and they can be guided by whoever you want to listen to. I think in this day and age, Brad, in 2020, that's what I've learned more than anything else, is if you want to find an opinion out there to back yours up, you can find it. It used to be that way when I worked in real estate. You know, my old boss, who's now passed, said to me, figures don't lie, liars figure. And you can move those numbers around on a real estate pro forma, and you can plan it out, and you can map it out, and you can plug these numbers in to make any story you want work. So if you want to find, as the Big Ten and the Pac-12, find medical personnel and scientists and doctors to tell you you should not play, there's too much risk, you're going to find them. If you are at Duke or LSU and you put together your medical advisory board and you want doctors and scientists and epidemiologists and immunologists and everybody else to tell you you can go for it and you can mitigate this risk as all the pro leagues have, then you can find that panel. So I think this was what those chancellors and presidents, I was not surprised at all by the Pac-12. Just look at the way the governors in the state of Washington and Oregon and California have processed this and handled this. It's been locked down and shut down. So I was not surprised at all by the Pac-12. I was surprised by the Big Ten. I didn't know that it would lean that much that way with its leadership and presidents, but it has. It did. And was it too early? In my opinion, yeah, I think it was too early. I think you got to see how these college campuses react. I think you got to navigate and mitigate a virus that's not going away and won't go away even when a vaccine comes. So that's just one man's opinion, and it certainly flares up many other people's opinions. As I know you have talked about this daily, it's certainly walked through.
What type of impact will this have on the Pac-12 from a football recruiting, purely that area standpoint moving forward?
I think it'll be devastating if the SEC plays. If the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 and their partners follow along and play this season, I think it will be devastating to those teams out west. Already, they were getting picked apart, right? Top two quarterbacks in California in the last two classes are playing at Alabama and Clemson right now in training camp, getting ready to go. for this season. And if those conferences are able to navigate this and mitigate this, and there will be some bumps in the road, there's going to be more cases, there'll probably be some games canceled or postponed or delayed. But if they go through this, I that SEC slogan is it just means more. It does. It does. Compared to the Pac-12, it just means more down there. And now they'll be able to recruit that much more to that brand and to that motto.
Spring football, you a fan of it?
Don't buy it. I don't think it'll happen.
If they play this season, they'll keep pushing back.
Yeah, I mean, if they will. And if these other leagues play this season, they're what the Pac-12 and Big Ten and Mountain West are going to have their own. Like, it's not going to happen. If this season goes along and they play, more and more of these parents and these players and these ADs and these coaches are going to be irate in the Big Ten. We've not really heard that response in the Pac-12. Right, we heard David Shaw say his players commended their decision. We've not heard any players or any parents, filing any lawsuits or anything. So Pac-12 is just gonna be in their own little silo. But if the other conferences play this fall, I can't imagine there'll be any other spring football.
I know you can't look this far ahead, but you are in the business of broadcast. You're one of the leading analysts out there for a big time network. The contracts are coming up in college football, rights fees and all of that. Mm-hmm. And with that, I think conference movement. It happened, it was probably, 15 years ago, we saw a lot of conference movement. Do you believe, I sit here and look at Arizona State with a very forward-thinking president and an athletic director who I think Ray would have wanted to play, but he was sitting next to Larry Scott and was very much a big voice in the room. I thought he showed leadership. I don't know if everything that came out that day was truly how he felt. Do you think that we will see some movement within Pac-12 saying, you know what, guys, we screwed this up. It's time for us to move.
I think, Brad, I've been of the opinion doing this the last 15 years or so that we're going to eventually see super conferences, that we're going to see the haves and the have-nots. And there's going to be immense budget cuts. There's going to be immense pain for so many of these schools and athletic departments, some of them hanging already on a thin line in the Power Five, let alone the Group of Five and others. So, again, I think it'll be a little dictated by what we see over the next 3 to 4 months. And if we see these conferences and these schools continue to play and not suffer some of the financial damage that certainly the Pac-12 and the Mountain West and the Big Ten and those schools are going to see, what Barry Alvarez say, nearly $100 million shortfall they're going to see. And I don't care how proud a department you have and how deep your pockets are, that is going to sting for some time. So is this the impetus to push to those power conferences? Are there four? Are there five? Is it 65? Is it 75 teams? Will some in the Pac-12 not make it into the super conferences? I think those are fairly legitimate questions. And I think over the next 10 years, I'd be rather surprised if we don't see some pretty wholesale shift of college football.
Tainted title if Ohio State is not part of it this year.
I don't think so. Nope, I think it's a bummer for Ohio State. They would have been there. They were probably the deepest, most experienced team with Clemson, obviously, and Bama and some of the Blue Bloods. But I feel awful for so many of those players. Some of them that came back to school to play this year, that didn't opt out and go to the NFL last year, that have such a special bond. It will be remembered. It will certainly be like, oh, yeah, that was 2020. That was the year the Big Ten, Ohio State didn't play. It will be remembered. But an asterisk or undeserving, I'm with Dabo, man. If they play this thing and they mitigate this and they handle the mob and all the negativity and all the people pressuring them on every side to just fold and quit and do the right thing and don't take risk, I think it would be pretty commendable, actually.
What's your schedule going to look like? Do you know your first few games? Or?
I don't. Still up in the air very much. Is the Big 12 has scheduled. That's obviously the partner with Fox. Pac-12, Big Ten have canceled out. So, nope, still as we sit here today, this week, just a few weeks before, still a lot of things undetermined.
Yeah, be brilliant on SiriusXM. I know you will be. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
Always a blast, Brad. Thank you, bud.
There's Brock Cured with us, and we're back with more after this timeout.